Good afternoon and hello. Welcome to HeartSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You know, we've got a ton of guests lined up in the studio today. We've run out of room, but we love that you have tuned in and are spending your afternoon with us. Today, we're going to talk to John Brick, who is a filmmaker, also Rosalind Temple, who is the subject of the documentary Uncommon Allies. Also, we have C.J. Charbonneau, Donna Moore, Sarah Heidschmiedler, Aaron Hamilton, and more. So, yeah, we've got a great lineup, and let's get started, shall we? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, I want to introduce John Brick and Rosalind Temple, and the movie, the documentary that was filmed, Uncommon Allies, explores Rosalind's role in effectively bridging the gap between grieving communities and the police department at every homicide scene in the Kansas City, Missouri area. So I'm going to let her talk about the backstory on this film. So welcome, Rosalind.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And hello, John.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
It's good to see you here again. So, Uncommon Allies, let's talk about that. What is the subject matter, and how did this movie come about?
Well, it came about in 2011, November 23rd, which was Thanksgiving Day. My 26-year-old son, Antonio Thompson, was murdered. When he was murdered, you know, I had to take a stronghold of my life. I had to take a stand in my community and make a difference because, you know, death knocked on my door that year. We have been having a problem in Kansas City for a long time.
Very long time, yeah. And John, as a filmmaker, this was a moment for you to really reflect and sort of document the life of this young man and what occurred since, aftermath.
Yeah, I mean, I came across Rosalind's story almost 4 years ago, three and a half years ago, and I actually came across her story through my mom, who was trying to volunteer for her organization, Mothers in Charge, and we had created a promotional video, just a one-minute video about her story so she could help get her nonprofit status for Mothers in Charge, and then when I was doing that video, she told me her whole story, and I was just blown away, and I was like, this needs to be a documentary. And so as I, you know, got to know Rosalind and her story, I started going to homicide scenes with her and experiencing what goes on there. And then through that, because she works closely with the police department, I started building a relationship with the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. And then through that, I started following them around and filming along with Rosalind. So Uncommon Allies is someone like Rosalind from the inner city who supports her community, and then there's the police department who are trying to do their job with homicides, and Rosalind fills that gap in between helping the police department at the homicide scenes where the families are there when they hear the information about their loved one being killed, and then Rosalind, you know, she's an asset for the police department, and you know, it's just a remarkable thing that she's doing.
Well, and Rosalind, I am so sorry for the loss of your son, and through this tragedy, you were able to sort of bridge the gap between the grieving communities, as I mentioned, and the police department. So how did you begin to start this process?
Well, I knew I had to build relationships when my son was murdered. If I didn't, I would have died. I am the community. Mm-hmm. I'm a person in this community. I was born and raised in Kansas City, and I knew I had a fight on my hand. And building relationships, getting to know people, talking to people, with people, not as someone. Mm-hmm. And I knew the police department was the one was handling my son's case. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to give me the best investigation they had. So I started building relationships and taking a stand and doing something that has never been done. And I need to be at them homicide scenes to support families, mothers, the community, and the police department, because no one was talking, and I know the police had a job to do, so I wanted them to do it effectively without the families understanding the process. So I learned the process. I'm able to tell the families the process to be there and walk them through it. Mm-hmm. So they won't be angry. To pick a mother up off the ground when she's screaming and the pain that you never get over.
And to this day, the homicide remains unsolved, right?
Yes, my son, homicide is unsolved.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in the wake and the devastation of his murder. This personal search for justice really changed your lives and the lives in the community, right?
Yes, it have. You know, just me being a part of this community all my life, knowing a lot of people. Kansas City is a small community.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know a lot of people, and people know me from different areas of my life and knowing how I changed my life and knowing I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's not because I know you as a friend. I'm going to do the right thing. Right. It's all about doing the right thing to stop this violence in our community, to show people that we can come together. We're not Killer City. We're a city that's trying to make a difference. And Uncommon Allies is that story that's going to show people that it is making a difference.
Beautiful. And John, there is a screening tomorrow, right?
Yes, the film will be screening at the Kansas City Film Festival at 7 p.m., and that's at the Cinemark on the Plaza. Our screening is sponsored by Cinema KC, and the film is about 68 minutes. And we're, you know, really looking forward to get more people from the community to come out, because really this story is, it's just truly inspirational. The film has, it's heartwarming. There's some humor in it. I know it's a serious subject matter, but it kind of goes into the human side of Rosalind and the human side of the police department. So there's some scenes in there that you would see that you would never think that police would do these type of things on a personal and human side. But it's a really unique story.
And I understand that the trailer can be viewed at uncommonallies.com.
Yeah, our website is www.uncommonallies.com. And then the same with Facebook page, it's Uncommon Allies.
And then the kcfilmfest.org is the information that, the website for more information about the screenings and everything that's going on.
Correct.
Yeah. Is there going to be a talk back after this screening tomorrow?
So after the screening, there's going to be a QA panel, and it's going to be Rosalind, myself, and Captain Tim Hernandez from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, and then we're going to have another member of the police department that was with Kansas City, but he's with another police department now. So it'll probably be four of us. Mm-hmm. And just real quick, the really interesting thing about the QA is the film opens up all the issues that we're having in the city, and it puts the – we're just trying to get the conversation going. So right after you watch the film, you're going to be able to interact with the police. You're going to be able to interact with Rosalind and really experience a candid moment.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's rarely we have that opportunity to have those discussions. So it's an opportunity that's a great for the community and for individuals and to talk with you, to, you know, really get to know who you are and how to get involved as well, right?
It's really about communication at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There's so many issues, you know, that are brought up in this film with, you know, violent gun violence, homicide, and all the other things. But what you can really take away from this film is just that whatever the differences we have with these issues are just the issues that are going on in the world. Mm-hmm. It's all about communicating and finding a common ground.
John, is this something that you would like to maybe see played in maybe community centers or at schools to kind of really have a wider distribution?
Yeah, so I'm working on a social impact campaign, in which that entails is we would start it here locally in Kansas City, but start screening it at high schools, universities, community events, and then hopefully nationally. We'd go do that around the country and do the same model we're doing to screen the film and then have the police and Rosalind there to discuss it. So that's in the works right now.
Well, I think it's easy to sort of turn on the news and see, oh, there was a murder. There was, you know, this happened and that happened. But to actually sort of really investigate and see the one-on-one, the faces of people that this affects is really, truly empowering, you know, for the community. UncommonAllies.com, you can view the trailer, kcfilmfest.org for more information. And again, that's going to be Uncommon Allies at the 2018 Kansas City Film Festival tomorrow, Thursday, April 12th, at 7 p.m. at the Cinemark on the Country Club Plaza. Do folks need to make reservations or call ahead or anything for this?
You can buy tickets online or you can get them at the door.
Okay. So this happened in 2011, where your son was murdered in his apartment, and now through that, there's some healing that took place, right, Rosalind?
It's a whole bunch of healing took place when I'm able to be at the homicide scenes to support families, support a mother, to pick her up, to walk her through the process of the funeral arrangements. That's where my healing comes from,
you've
to
been
help
there,
my community
done that.
And go outside of my community if I'm needed.
Yeah, it takes so much strength for you
yes,
to be able to do that, and we're so grateful that we have you in the community, and we hope that your son's murder is solved someday soon.
Let's hope. Thank you.
Any last words before we head out?
No. I just want the community to know that this is an impact. We need to talk. Yeah. We need to have conversations. Yeah. People need to watch this because it can be done anywhere. This is a must. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have to stop the violence. This week is Crime Victims Week, and we don't want no more victims. We need to stop and start communicating and talking with each other.
And Rosalind, if you're connected with an organization where people can get more information or answers from you or want to contact you, is that possible?
Yes, I am the executive director of KC Mothers in Charge. We're located at 3200 Wayne, Robert J. Mohawk, and Little Multipurpose Center. Our number is 816-912-2601.
And you know what? I'll get that information and put it on our Facebook page for folks that maybe are driving and can't get to, you know, a pen right away. So, and John, any final words?
Rosalind's story is just something that's so unique, and I don't think what she's doing in Kansas City, I don't think there's any other woman in any city across the country that's doing what she's doing, mm-hmm. and I don't think there's any police department that's doing the type of things to work with her and working with the community in kind of a unique way, in a human way. I guess a lot of films or a lot of people have think really poorly of the police around the country, and this is a rare film that actually shows the positive side of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of issues with, you know, police departments across the country, but and there's a lot of films that go into that, but this film really shows, you know, the difference of what we're doing here in Kansas City.
The humanity.
And I think that the Kansas City Missouri Police Department prides themselves on what they're doing, I think that this could be a model for other cities across the country to look at and say, maybe, you know, we could do it like this too.
I like that. Used as a template. Very good.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, Rosalind Temple, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story. And John Brick, come back.
Anytime.
Very good. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to Art Speak Radio. Thank you so much for tuning us in every Wednesday, noon to 1. Next up, I have Donna Moore. She is she's phenomenal. You know, she's the three-dimensional imagination of Donna Moore through the 1980s and 1990s is where she has designed. She was one of the most prolific toy designers of the late 20th century, and her products were sold all over the world. She's based here in Kansas City, and there's a good chance you probably played one of Donna Moore's soft toys. I bet you did. From the Crazy Crop characters for Hallmark to the Beatles, John, Paul, George, and Ringo for Determined Products. You can explore Moore's career and artistic process at the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures, and that's at 5235 Oak Street here in Kansas City, Missouri. So welcome to Art Speak Radio, Donna Moore.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. I'm so happy to meet with you. It must have been a lot of fun to design and create toys.
Yes, it was. It took a long time to get there, you know, and it is a lot of fun. I'm still doing it today just for myself since I'm retired.
How does one get involved in that? Where did you start? Give us your backstory.
Well, I was born in Chicago on the South Side, and I was raised in Kansas City at 926 Indiana, and then 18th in Cleveland, and my father stayed there till late. And I always wanted to be an artist, really bad. I wanted to be an artist. But at that time, not very many girls went to college. My mother scraped enough money together to send me to the Kansas City Art Institute. Well, I went to work for Hallmark, and I stayed there for quite a long time, and I went from place to place to place because it was during the Vietnam War, and I finally got in.
Yeah.
And so I finally got in, and I worked as a flitter flocker there for a while. I flocked and flittered cards.
I know exactly what that is.
Until I could get into the art department, which was step by step by step.
And then
when I finally did, I drew the cards, did the cards, but my passion was to do three-dimensional stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of just went into that as kind of like a fluke to go into that. And so I started designing with the sewing machine. I guess that's what you'd say. I think three-dimensionally. So that's what I kind of did there. And then I left Hallmark and went on to Determined Productions and traveled all over the world.
That's terrific. And you must really have loved what you've done to stay with it so long and
yes.
and continue today. Tell us some of the toys that you designed.
Well, I've done the Beatles dolls. That was one of my one of the things that she got me into doing. I mean, she called me and asked me if I would design dolls for her, Connie Boucher, the owner of Determined Productions, and asked me if I would design dolls for her. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I don't know if I can. I work for Hallmark. And she said, well, I can pay you this amount of money. And I said, well, when do you want me to do it? So I went into Hallmark and asked if I could do it because I wasn't going to do anything against my job. And they said, yes, we don't do dolls, so you can design those dolls. And so I did. And then my husband and I went on a trip. And then when we got back, she invited me to come to work for her full time. So I left my job at Hallmark with a lot of, you know, heartbroken, you know, but I left because it was more challenging to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if help me understand, the Beatles, the dolls, the John, Paul, George, and Ringo, were they the soft, kind of squishy, rubbery dolls?
Yeah, they were soft dolls. Yeah. They were, you know, maybe a couple of feet tall. And when each one of them had to be okayed by the person that they were, you know, Ringo had to okay his, John's, of course, was not here anymore, so Yoko Ono okayed hers. And when my boss took them to Yoko Ono, she let her son hold them, and he immediately ripped the head off of it. And so she called me up in a panic and said, you've got to fix this. Send me a new one. Well, I didn't have a new one. I had to design a whole nother one and then send it to her. And at that time, somebody had gotten into her room and took all the clothes off of the Beatles dolls and took them with them. And so I had to design make a whole bunch more clothes.
That's great. So I love that. I love that.
It's pretty funny.
You know, so your work is going to be at the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures. So we'll see these dolls and other items.
Yes.
What are some other things that we'll see in the
exhibition? You're going to see the dinosaurs from Jurassic Park. That in the end of the movie, in the first Jurassic Park, they showed the toy store. Mm-hmm. And the toy store was full of nothing but our dinosaurs and, you know, Determined Productions dinosaurs. And so that was really kind of fun to do. I had to take my sewing machine and go overseas a lot. At this particular time, it was a rush job. We had to have them done in 2 months.
Wow.
So we sent them, you know, just everything over. Because, see, everything was done by hand. We didn't have a computer. We didn't have cell phones.
Yeah, that
we didn't have anything. So you had
difference.
To do every single thing that you did by hand. And so if you didn't know how to hand separate an item, you were in trouble. Now you can do it on the computer. Actually, the last thing I did for Hallmark was after I had left Hallmark, they still called me to ask me to do jobs for them. You know, when I started my own business after my boss had passed away. And I had done the coins that go, you know, the coins that they did for the years. Actually, my daughter helped me finish those things and put them on a disc so I could send them, you know, overseas. Because I'd never done anything like that before. I had no idea how to do it on a computer. I could hand separate it. But
it's a different world with
computer
stuff.
It is a different world now.
I hate electronics. But, you know, I have to mention, I was really, really surprised when you came into the studio and your lovely daughter is here. And it's like, I made that connection. I know her and I know your wonderful son, Paul.
Yes.
Shout out to Paul. And Beth is here in the studio, and she was really inspired by the work that you've done and followed in your footsteps and becoming an artist as well, right?
Yes, she did. And my oldest daughter works at Hallmark, and my granddaughter works at Hallmark now.
Wow.
And so they're all moving up the thing. And I didn't have a college education. I got to spend a couple of years at the Art Institute, you know, taking courses and classes. But as far as getting a college education... But I made sure all of my children did, because I feel that unless you have a college education, it's hard to get to go now.
Back then,
you could go.
But you did very well for yourself, because you've got this wonderful exhibition at the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures.
Yes.
And that's really, you know, it just got to be mind-blowing.
It is. And I have to thank each and every one of those people and my daughter for pushing, you know, to put it in there, because no one likes to be the spotlight shown on them. and I'm one of those.
Well, and I can mention that the museum is located at 5235 Oak Street, Kansas City, Missouri, and the website for more information and hours and all of that is toyandminiaturemuseum.org. Now, your exhibition will be there through June 3rd, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I really do love that National Museum of Toys and Miniatures because it really takes me back to the toys that either A, I wanted, mm-hmm. or that I played with. And yeah. I think there's something for everyone there. You know, it's just a real unique learning experience.
Oh, excuse me. I've done several talks there, and I've talked to a lot of people that come in to hear me speak, uh-huh. and they're always amazed at not only the things that they saw that I have done, but when they go through the museum, they get a whole new, different view of what's going on in Kansas City as far as a miniature museum goes.
And it's really cool, I think, you know, to be able to talk to you as an individual, as a designer, an artist, versus, oh, well, this was made in a big factory somewhere, and, you know, you're that face of that unique product, toy. Or
well, one of the things that really helped me a lot is Kansas City is a small place, and you don't go. A lot of people don't go beyond that, you know.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
I went to work for Determined Productions, they sent me to Japan, to Korea, to Taiwan, to all of these places, carrying my little bitty sewing machine. Just about every single time I went,
wow.
and it was an experience that widens your scope. So anytime anybody can travel or do something different, you know, it widens your scope.
Yeah, and it's just good for the soul.
It is.
For inspiration and all that. So,
yes.
Yeah. Well, Donna Moore, I'm so happy that you were here with us today.
Thank you.
Just really delighted to meet you at the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures, 5235 Oak Street, Kansas City, Missouri. It's right across the street from the law school, UMKC Law School.
Right.
For more information, toyandminiaturemuseum.org. And the number is 816-235-8000. So you'll be there this weekend for a artist talk?
No.
Is that?
I have already had that
okay.
a couple of weeks
ago. I'm just making stuff up now. I'm just filling
time.
But
it's an honor to be there, there to have my exhibit there of all my toys.
Till June 3rd.
Yes.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after these messages. Hello, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd, back at you with ArtSpeak Radio, and we're so happy, you know, to be here with you every week. Next up, I've got Sarah Heidschmiedler. She's a good friend of ours from the Nelson Atkins Museum, and she's going to talk about Passport to India, which is taking place this weekend, right, Sarah?
Yes, thank you so much, Maria.
You bet.
This Sunday, April 15th, we'll host our 6th annual Passport to India Festival, and we'll have over 100 presenters and performers, all from the Kansas City area, and they'll be doing all sorts of dances, classical, folk, Bollywood dances, live music, lots of demonstrations. The museum will just be filled with activities and performances.
Well, I know I've got like 3 pages of stuff that you all are going to do at, you know, the different halls or lobbies and that sort of thing. So it's music and food and fashion and just all kinds of things.
Yes, that's a highlight, our fashion show every year. We'll have henna design demonstrations and temporary tattoos and art activities and lots of activities in the South and Southeast Asian galleries because it's really a celebration of our beautiful collection of art from that part of the world and our Indian culture in mm-hmm. Kansas City, and our friends at the Kansas City Indian Center helped us put it on.
And we want to mention to our listeners the times of, well, when they'll open the doors for this on Sunday.
Yes, the doors open at 10 a.m., and that's when all of the performances and activities start. And then the festivities go on till 4 p.m., and then the museum closes at 5 p.m.
And I just want to mention to folks that if you plan on heading down there on Sunday, that there's free parking in the garage for museum members, and then it's paid parking for non-members. And then there's additional parking and a free shuttle to the museum that's available at the Kauffman Foundation in Kauffman Gardens. And for more information, nelson-atkins.org is the website, because that really fills up that whole parking area. Just is just woof. You can't get in, you can't get out.
It's just really so fun to see the museum just filled with guests and with so many volunteers from the community to put on this celebration. So it's it's a very joy filled fun day for people to come out.
Very colorful, a lot of different senses that this festival takes you through, right? Just everything.
Just so many different things for different ages. Mm-hmm. Like the children get a little passport that they get stamped in the gallery and stamped in a few different locations. And then you can watch people do writing and calligraphy demonstrations in one of the many languages of India, and try on a sari in another location. Yeah. So lots of hands-on
very
things.
Very cool. And again, we can mention the food, that Roselle Court is going to have some delicious Indian-inspired cuisine. And
yes, and in fact, our chef has taken the time to learn authentic Indian recipes recently. Wow. So that a lot of care goes into the day by a lot of different people.
And I know, reading through my notes, there is a chai demonstration.
Yes. We have a chai demonstration and just lots of hands-on things all around. It's just absolutely full of things for all ages,
and that goes
all
on
day
till,
on Sunday,
and that goes till 4 o'clock, right?
It does. It does.
There's so much happening, and the Nelson Atkins Museum is located at
4525 Oak Street, just 2 blocks east of the plaza.
Yeah.
So right in Midtown, so we're right in the middle of the city and want to have lots of people enjoying all the things.
So it's going to be a good weekend for this, it's a good weekend any time to go to the Nelson Atkins Museum. Passport to India, Journey to India. Get your passport stamped along the way. There's so much performance, dance, live music, fashion show, food. Learn about saris and chai demonstrations. So for more information, again, I'll say the website is nelson-atkins.org. Yeah. So, and you can find out a little bit about the shuttle and whatever else and the different times of performances and activities in that, right?
Yes, on the website or on our event Facebook page. That's Passport to India, Nelson Atkins.
We love that. Thank you so much, Sarah. We love to have you back all through the year because there's so much happening at the Nelson. So,
thank you. Yeah. Yes, there's always something new. And after Passport to India, we'll have our annual Juneteenth celebration and then Kansas City's Big Picnic, and just always lots to do.
We love that. So much going on. Thank you, my friend, Sarah Heidschmiedler. Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. Actually, that was Al Green, so we love Al Green. Next up, we have CJ Charbonneau, who is in the studio. She's going to talk about Women in the Arts, which is a networking event for women, and we're going to talk about that. So welcome, CJ.
Thanks for having me, Maria.
Yeah, you bet. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has.
But we're glad you're here. Tell us about Women in the Arts, first of all, the organization, the group that you're with.
Okay, well, as the name would imply, it's a group of women who are engaged in the arts in some way in the KC metro area. We have visual artists, we have museum and gallery people, teachers, students, nonprofit people, the odd radio host. And we meet monthly at a different venue each month for some networking and usually a tour or an artist talk. And it's a great way to foster some community, make some connections, meet some other people.
And how long have you been doing this?
It's been almost 2 years.
Wow, yeah. That's craziness.
Yeah.
Craziness. So every month there's something different, a different location and all that. Let's talk about April's networking event.
So April, we are gathering at Studio Joy, which is the studio space of the artist Amanda Jolly. She has a large, beautiful studio space in Midtown, and she's going to be providing sort of a tour of the space, and she also is going to give a demonstration of origami, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah,
That's something that she incorporates, among other things, in her practice, and so we're going to be making some kind of a lotus flower.
That sounds like fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. And her location, her studio, Joy, Studio Joy is located at 608 East 30th Street in Kansas City, Missouri.
That's correct.
Now, do people need to kind of call ahead or just show up?
No. People can show up. It is from 6 to 8 p.m. and you can drop in out whenever it's convenient.
So I love that. And the write-up you have, come celebrate Tax Day by spending a fun evening with your peers from the arts. I like that.
Yes, we will be finished.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, you have an event every month.
Right. A different host each month. We open up the calendar around October, November, and it fills up in a couple of weeks, generally. We have a different venue, a different host that will provide, you know, something to nosh on, some light programming. And there's really been a great response. We've seen some just amazing studio spaces. We've been at museums and galleries and Artist Coalition, a lot of different really cool places.
It's just a great place, you know, to do that networking. I mean, we know how big this community is, this creative community is, and so to be able to sit and exchange information, business cards, and, you know, really get to know those people in the arts, it's a good thing.
And I think for studio artists especially, there's not always those opportunities to, if you're working alone, you're not out in the world so much working with other people or even meeting other people. And I think it's been great for gallery people to meet artists and artists to meet gallery people and make some of those connections that are so important when you're trying to advance your career.
So how do you make that happen? Do you contact the artists or do they contact you? Say, you know, I want to host an event this month. How does that work?
Well, we have a Facebook page. We also have a general email list for those who prefer that or maybe just aren't on Facebook. And when I first started, after the first event, a few people at the first event, I think Kim Weinberger had expressed interest in hosting the future, and then Sherry Leedy did. And so after that first year, I just put the word out via email and on Facebook, you know, that the calendar would be opening up. And the response was, like I said, within a couple of weeks, we had people, and people ask all the time, when can I do this?
Yeah. So Studio Joy is the next event, April 17th. That's Tuesday, April 17th from 6 to 8 at Studio Joy, located at 608 East 30th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, if folks aren't able to attend that one, tell us what the May, would you?
Okay,
tell us what
May
the May event
is at Cherry Pit Collective, also
okay,
in Midtown.
Yeah.
That's a primarily female-owned and used space, sort of collective studio space, and that's a really great place. We've been there before.
You know, and it's a terrific location because that area, which is like 31st and Gillum, is really taken off. I mean, there's a lot of businesses, and I believe Urban Mining just recently moved there in that area. So, it's a good...
Yes.
Yeah. Terrific. Is there a website or other social media that folks can find more information at?
Well, as I said, there's a Facebook page, and it is private because of some advertising things, but people can reach out to me via email or on Facebook, and I guess we can have that on your website.
Absolutely.
They can email or call, and current members can add people on Facebook also, if you know someone, if you're interested and you know someone who's already in the group.
I'm so happy to have you here, because a lot of times we just kind of meet and wave at each other and talk briefly at the museums and that, because, you know, that's what we do. Well, thank you so much, CJ Charbonneau. We love you. Come back anytime that door's open.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. Okay, we're back. So our next guest, we're going to talk to Aaron Hamilton, who is an artist, writer, poet, hip-hop artist, promoter, and founder of Era Entertainment. And, and you've been on the program before, so we're going to talk a little bit more in length. Sorry about that, guys. We're going to talk about Era. It's been up and running since 2015, so you've had a few years to kind of get this organization going. And tell us more about it, would you, Aaron? Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
Sorry about that. We're happy to have you.
Glad to be back.
Tell us about what's happening since we last spoke with Era.
Well, first, I would like to say, if I didn't have this woman sitting next to me, none of that would have happened.
Oh, I love that.
My beautiful fiance, Miss Maisha Washington.
Thank you.
Also known by Bronze Beauty. Since last time we've been here, we have actually more shows. We have 3 shows now, actually.
In total. Mm-hmm.
We have the very first show, Tones and Vibes, which my lovely partner, she is the host and I am the co-host of. Uh-huh.
And tell us about Tones and Vibes. What is that?
I'll give the floor to my beautiful fiance for that.
Thank you. Well, Tones and Vibes, of course, is an open mic held typically every Tuesday. But, of course, right now it is on standby because we're working out some different changes with our venue. So that's kind of a BC on that, which is a to be continued.
Yeah,
but
sure.
The open mic is actually held for all poetry artists, mm-hmm. lyricists to come in and actually just perform on stage, mm-hmm. and just share their craft with us and, of course, the audience. And, of course, we do have random features and, of course, you know, offer different vendors to come in, mm-hmm. And just, you know, promote, advertise, and just kind of do.
Now, the thing that's different about Tones and Vibes from any other show is that we welcome all artists, but it is based on more of a spoken word. So if you are like a rap artist, you can come, but you cannot use your instrumentals. We want to hear your voice.
Okay. Yes. Yes, that's what
we want to hear what you're talking about, you know, and that's what the thing that's different, because not to talk about any other shows, mm-hmm. but we respect the mic.
Yeah.
We want to hear exactly what you got to say instead of trying to hear you over the sound of the music in the background.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and we still love the music, but we just want to hear the words.
Yeah.
And then you have HHMKC. Talk about that.
That's Hip Hop Meets KC.
Yeah,
that's the show that I host and my lovely partner co-host. Mm-hmm. That is a hip hop show that is basically for all hip-hop artists. Uh-huh. We've had one show already back in January. What was that? Yep.
January 26th.
26th. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that one, it was amazing. We had some dope local artists from T. Hudson to
Keith Bannon, who goes by Prim One.
Yes. He was actually a performer at our last Tones of Vibe show.
Yes.
Now, and where are those held at? I mean, where are the performances?
Hip Hop Meets KC is held at Mini Bar on 3810 Broadway, and that's seasonal. So it's every season, once every season. The next show would be actually May 26th.
Yep. Saturday, May 26th.
Yes.
At the Mini Bar.
Yes,
right.
At Mini Bar.
And tickets go on sale next week.
So for more information, where can folks find out?
You can look us up under Aura on Facebook. That's ARRA. Mm-hmm. And we'll actually get into that, what that actually means. But you can look us up on Facebook under Aura, or you can put in Hip Hop Meets KC. And it's all linked back to us to where you can find all the information.
Yep.
And so let's go back to ARRA. What does that mean? Because it's an acronym, A-R-R-A.
Yes.
Tell
now, us. ARRA actually happened from when I already had the idea of making a platform for artists. But one day, you know, I'm a graphic artist, so I'm making this design, and that design of ARRA came out when I was making this sign saying the artist, and it flipped it and made it to A-R-R-A. And it stands for Abstract Reality Royal Artistry.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah. You also have a system, different strategies for ARRA, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about that, some of the manager criteria.
Oh, yeah. My lady, she's the more of the business.
Oh, okay.
Do all the marketing, you know, and just pretty much getting together the graphic designs for our shows. And, you know, he just kind of works with me and says, hey, okay, I like that. Or no, I don't like that, you know.
And I do some of the graphic work as well, and the marketing, doing the promoting.
Canvasser work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's more of the pound and pavement guy. I'm more of the behind the computer scenes type of gal.
Now, if you've just joined us, Art Speak Radio, I'm talking to Erin Hamilton and Maisha Washington with ARRA, which means Abstract Reality Royal Artistry. I like that. For more information, again, you're on Facebook and other social media.
You can reach us on Facebook. The specific website you can do is www.facebook.com/ARRAKC1 and / again, and that will direct you to the exact Facebook page. And
you
then,
can
of
find
course,
all of our shows on there as well, from Hip Hop Meets Kansas City to Tones and Vibes and our new show, which we're speaking of today. Thursdays.
Oh, okay.
It'll take place at Steele's Used Bookstore at 214 East 18th Ave, starting May 17th.
Yes.
Yeah, that's North Kansas City. That area is really kind of taken off.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I was just there this weekend, and there's so much happening in North Kansas City. So give us the name again and the address.
That is Third Thursday. It will take place every third Thursday starting in May. And that is at Steele's Used Bookstore, 214 East 18th Ave, North Kansas City.
Which is a place you can actually come and purchase books as well.
Yeah,
well as listen to some open mic at the same time.
And folks will need to sign up ahead of time to perform, or
they can just come in
at the door, sign up, and
the time for that will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
And we have instruments there already. So if you're an instrumentalist, from guitar to piano, they have other instruments as well. They very beautiful place.
Yeah.
And we are touching base with also a younger crowd with this open mic. We're offering for people 18 and up to actually come in and do their craft on
and
stage.
And that certainly does make a difference, because a lot of times they aren't able to get into these, you know, 21.
It's a bar. In most places, you know, that sell alcohol, you can't have, you know, people younger than 21.
Yeah. And tell us again, the name of this is called Third Thursdays?
It's called Third Thursdays. It's an open mic.
That sounds like fun. And you know, any of this that you're doing, you know, you just invite people just to participate, don't you? I mean, it's just like, come on down.
We're just creating a stage for people to come in. Let their heart out, you know, because there's a lot of places that, you know, from the youth or to other places, from the older, the mature crowd, because a lot of people don't want to go out and go to the club scene. Yeah. They want to go somewhere where they can sit back and relax and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just helpful just to get your words out there and then maybe sort of edit or, you know, get some feedback from someone in the audience, a friend, and that sort of thing. It's a good testing ground. I guess you could say.
Yes.
Exactly.
So,
and it's very good for networking as well. Because since we started this, we have so many artists that's collabing with other artists, other vendors.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what basically we got in this business for.
Yeah. Yeah. That's terrific. Is there anything that we left out that we want to mention before we kind of wind things down?
You know, we've got all three of our shows out there.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of give a little special shout out to some people.
Sure.
I want to give a special shout out to Wormwood Collective Group
of
KC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Will Superior, he's awesome. Big shout out to David Steele and Alicia Archer at Steele's Used Books.
Shout out to them. They're very awesome people.
Yeah. Very great people. Music and More Foundation, that's by Terrence Williams. He's awesome. He also has a second annual Poetry Award show. And last but not least, to the KC Poetry / No Coast and Charlotte Street Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Miss Sherry Hall. Yeah.
Oh, love, we love Sherry Hall. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to thank you so much for coming back to the studio today and sharing all the good stuff that you're doing. salute. you know, in the community and for writers and artists. Thank you for that. So, yeah, we'll keep in touch.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
And I want to say thank you to my other guests. Ooh, who do I have? I've got Aaron Hamilton, Maisha Washington, John Brick, Rosalind Temple, C.J. Charbonneau, Donna Moore, Sarah Hyde-Schmiedler. Thank you so much for coming in today. And next week, April 18th, we've got Samantha Sloopski and Jeanette Powers, Charlotte Streets, Mason Andrew Fitzpatrick, and Deb and Pete from The Rabbit Hole will be here in the studio live. I want to invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon. Stay tuned for him because he's got some pretty tasty little numbers that he wants to put on the air for you. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And, you know, we love you. Like us on Facebook and all that good stuff. Honey, I'm coming home.